Morning and Evening by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. September 8th, Morning. Developing Fruit. Your fruit is found in me. Hosea chapter 14, verse 8. Our fruit comes from God through our union with Christ. The fruit of the branch is directly traceable to the root. Sever the connection, and the branch dies, and no fruit is produced. But through our union with Christ, we bring forth fruit. Every bunch of grapes started in the root, passed through the stem, flowed through the sap vessels, and fashioned itself externally into fruit. In a similar manner, every good work was first in Christ before it was brought forth in us, Christian. In a similar manner, every good work was first in Christ before it was brought forth in us. Christian, prize your precious union to Christ, for it is the source of all fruitfulness. If you were not joined to Jesus Christ, you would be a barren branch. Our fruit also comes from God's providence. When the dew drops fall from heaven, when the clouds look down from on high and are about to distill their liquid treasure, when the bright sun swells the berries of the cluster, then each heaven-sent gift may whisper to the tree, "From me your fruit comes." The fruit owes much to the root, which is essential to fruitfulness. But it also owes much to external influences. How much we owe to God's providential grace. He provides us constantly with life, teaching, consolation, strength, or whatever else we need. Whatever we have or are, we owe to Him. Finally, our fruit comes from God's wise cultivation of His vineyard. The gardener's sharp knife promotes fruitfulness by thinning clusters and cutting off superfluous shoots. So it is, Christian, with the pruning the Lord gives you. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Says John 15, 1 and 2. Since our God is the author of our spiritual graces, let us give Him all the glory of our salvation. September 8th, Evening. Alive in Christ. The exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. In the resurrection of Christ, as in our salvation, only His mighty divine power was used. What then can we say to those who think conversion was worked by their free will? When we see the dead rise from the grave by their own power, then we may expect the ungodly to turn to Christ by their own free will. It is not through the word preached or the word read. All awakening proceeds from the Holy Spirit. This power is irresistible. All the soldiers and even the high priest could not keep the body of Christ in the tomb. Death could not hold Jesus in its bonds. This is the same irresistible power put into believers when they are raised to newness of life. No sin, no corruption, no devils in hell or sinner on earth can stop the hand of God's grace when it intends to convert a soul. If God omnipotently says, "You shall," the sinner cannot say, "I will not." Observe that the power which raised Christ from the dead was glorious. It reflected honor on God, but worked dismay in the hosts of evil. There is great glory to God in the conversion of every sinner. It was everlasting power. We, being raised from the dead, do not go back to our dead works or to our old corruptions, but we live to God. "Because I live, you will live also," says John 14:19. "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Colossians 3:3. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6:4. And mark the connection in our text of the new life to Jesus. The same power that raised the head works life in the members. What a blessing to be made alive together with Christ.